Each one, and he's done well for no reason. When I knew him maybe a bit sooner, I could have asked her brother Terry to brought the accordion, but the Lord bless anyhow. Let us turn in our Bibles tonight till the book of Acts, and I want to read from chapter 11. And verse 26, I could read through, there's a lot in this. And I want to talk about Christians, where the name come from, Christians. And some people have a lot of rare ideas about names. A fella said to me recently, you shouldn't call anybody brother. That's true, and I was looking about this the other night in the Bible, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of scriptures where it calls you brother.
Amen.
It's through the Bible.
Amen.
Whoever thinks that you shouldn't call anybody brother, I don't know where they got that idea from, but it's not from the Bible. And Christians, the word Christians in the Bible, and Christians, and it shows you here where the word started from, when they were first called Christians. And it's good to be called a Christian. And you're not a Christian without Christ. There's a lot of people today claim to be Christians, but if they know Christ, they're not Christians. You need Christ to be a Christian. Because the first part gives it away. Christ, Christians. Let's read verse 26 of Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You could go on and read where prophets come amongst them as well here and prophesied. If you went back a little bit before that, the apostles went up and taught them the word of God. And the whole chapter starts off really with Peter. And they have a whole row with him, more or less, as a dispute. Because Peter goes with the gospel to the Gentiles. And the people in Jerusalem want to know, Peter, why are you going to these dirty Gentiles, that's what they were, with the gospel? And Peter tells the vision of the sheet falling down with all the different unclean birds on it. And the voice said, take and eat. And he said, I've never done it. And God said, what I have cleansed, don't call common or unclean. And he sent them with the gospel also to the Gentiles. And here this gospel, this is a revival. There's a revival here. In chapter 11, there's a revival. And they go up here and they teach them the word of God for a whole year. And then the prophets come in and they prophesy even to Paul as well. Let's bow our heads tonight. Praise God. And I know there's prayer requests. If you have a prayer request as well, just lift your hand to the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Praise God. God bless you. And I want to pray for the postmen, and also we're talking about the bin men earlier and all the bins out, and you know it's terrible, nothing's lifted and the rats and foxes will soon be everywhere. But praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this great privilege we have as your people, that we can come in through your name into your very throne room and into your very presence. Lord, we know that at your right hand is pleasures forevermore. And Father, we come to you tonight. We ask you'll wash us and cleanse us afresh. In the blood of the Lamb, we cast down all reasoning and all vain imagination. And every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of the truth, we cast it down. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten us with the Word of God. And I ask you, if every hand raised tonight, you'll meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray again for dear Sister Sheila, Lord, and this heart condition and everything that's happened to her. Lord, we ask that the Lord will touch her. And we ask you for mercy for her in Jesus' precious name. That you'll touch her and raise her up to health and strength in the name of the Lord. Make her well. Make her whole. In Jesus' precious name, you sent your word and healed them in the name of the Lord. I pray, Lord, for the bin men and all that's going on. I pray you'll help them. Give them favor with those in authority that they'll get what they're looking and get back to work. And I pray for the postmen. I come against this antichrist system that wants them to work on a Sunday. And I pray, God, that you'll help them at this time and meet their needs, and just everything will work out right. And I pray for those in government that you'll have the right people in government put in and the wrong ones took out in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that you'll have your way. And in these meetings, move our hearts afresh. And for your people, Lord, that need your touch, give them a mighty touch. And even as our brothers prayed for the backslidden, restore them. In the name of Jesus Christ, save all of our children. Cover them with your blood and deliver them, everyone. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help. I need you, Lord. And I thank you that you're near. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. You know, I thought I'd just look at that and thinking about it last night or the other night. But brother, I'm telling you, if I was to preach a sermon just on that one word, it'd take me a few meetings. There's that many scriptures on it, on brother. And I'll tell you about that. There's another scripture that says, greet one another with a holy kiss. What do you think of that one? And you know, you see it in the old, you know, kiss in the cheek sort of thing. And that was normal in some countries years ago. I know the devil's perverted all them things today, but that's the Bible. And we're brethren. And we're brothers. And the Bible talks a lot about it. And I thank God we're brothers because we've been born again. Do you know why you're my brother and I'm your brother? Because we're all in the one family. It's called the family of God. So that means we're brothers. Amen. Full brothers. You say, hi, full brothers. Yes, we're blood related by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Brother Laurie from Africa, different color skin from mine, and yet we're full brothers because we're brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Red and yellow, black and white, all brothers because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The one donation meets all. Amen. And when you're given a transfusion, you have a certain blood type, and your blood type has to correspond with the person needing that blood. But the blood of Jesus Christ corresponded to the whole world. And it meets the need of all tonight, praise God. And I'm glad I can call you brothers, sisters in the Lord, sisters as well. Amen. And you could have a Christian brother or sister, and they're far closer to you than your natural born brother or sister. And God can do that. And we want the natural born ones to get born again as well. All that's near and dear to us, we want the Lord to deliver, praise God. I didn't plan on preaching this, but it's fascinating. When I read this, they're called disciples. In the Bible, 250 times, they were called the people of the way. So there's different names that Christians were referred to, believers, in the New Testament. They were called people of the way. The meaning of life was determined by the faith in Jesus Christ, Acts 9:2. And they desired him of letters of Damascus to synagogue that he might find of any of this way. Meaning of this persuasion. That's the same. What do them boys believe? Are they Pentecostals? Now, a lot of people messaged me and said they really enjoyed the meeting on Sunday. And I know one young woman, she was attacked during the week with another denominational, I won't say it, but it wasn't an eagle. I'll give you that. It definitely wasn't an eagle, so you know what it was. Clocks round the floor, scraping, getting it up into the clouds. And give it a whole lecture about this and that. And the same person that gave the whole lecture to this certain young woman hadn't been in church herself for 3 years. And that's going to lecture. And I tell you, that's the people of the day. They'll tell you what to do, but when you ask them, what are they doing? And talking against tongues. I'm going to tell you tonight, it's a dangerous thing to talk against tongues. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's dangerous. Because if that's a genuine tongue and you talk against it, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now remember, all sin will be forgiven except one word. One word spoken against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven, neither in this world or the world to come. And if somebody calls someone after the devil that's a genuine Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, they're in danger spotting. And you see, so many of the denominations about are against tongues. They're against them. And if you went into any of them, now I don't know why people want to go to a house like that that doesn't even believe in the gifts of Spirit, and they want to support it, and they claim they're Pentecostal, and they want to support something like that, and they don't even believe in any of the things what the Bible stands for, one veneer. I believe the Bible says come out from amongst that. How can two walk together except they're agreed? Yeah, but throughout you talk in tongues. You know, there's a big denomination in the town, and in their own doctrinal creeds, it's written in, if anybody talks in tongues, throw them out. It's written in their own doctrine. Throw them out of the talking tongues. What would they have done with the apostles? Now when you read this Acts 11, and you go down through this chapter 11, you will read, for the Holy Spirit come on the Gentiles. Peter says, I know the Holy Spirit come on them, the same as it did on us at the beginning. And he referred back to chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And he says, the way it came on us at the beginning, it came on them, so I know that's how they got it. The same Holy Ghost, the same way. Now, somebody can educate you that it comes a different way, but that's not the Bible. It comes the same way that it always came. There's not a different way. It's like getting saved. You cannot get saved a different way than what you get saved, what the way Jesus said it, been born again. It's the same way, and there's no new way to get it. It's the same way all the time. And in Revelations, it's called the everlasting gospel. Amen. 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 And that's what it is, praise God. And I tell you, I wouldn't, that God called me out of that stuff. I'm being honest with you. Away from it. Away from it. Out of it. And people think, of course, there's a crowd, it's a revival. The Church of Rome could have a crowd, but don't tell me that's a revival. Because I can guarantee it's not a revival. You get a big crowd when the coach used to go and there's big crowds at it. It was a revival for the devil. That's the only revival they were having down there. Praise God. I'm glad for tongues. You know John G. Lake, if you've never heard about him, you need to read about him. He's a wonderful man of God. John G. Lake said that speaking in tongues revolutionized his ministry. Speaking in tongues. So I believe in tongues. Praise God. And here are these people of the way. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound on to Jerusalem. So they were looking out for them, people of the way, the Christians. And they persecuted them. They were bad to them. And the early church, when it was under persecution, was a church on fire for God. Amen. And that's what happens a lot of times when you go to countries where they're maybe starving and they don't have much in way of, you know, physical, they'll cry out to God and God will move and God can send revival. They called them the sect of the Nazarenes. You ever heard of that? That was another name for them. The sect of the Nazarene. And Paul was a ringleader of this group. And Paul stood before Felix in Acts 24:5. For we have found this man to be a pestilent fella. He didn't agree with him. He went into the synagogues and argued with him, disputed with him. Is that right? Over Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And a mover of sedition. What's that boy against me? Because he talks about tongues and laying hands on the sick. Now that young woman, she was challenged in that as well. That, you know, you can't pray for the sick today. You cannot pray for the sick today. Well, would you be fit to do it tomorrow? I wonder. If you can't do it today. Nowhere in the Bible is there one verse to say that. My Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. My father met a man of the same persuasion some years ago. And he said to him, you know, Billy, you shouldn't be praying for the sick. My dad said, is that right? And he says, well, tell me this here. Do you pray for your neighbour? And he says, I do. I pray for him every morning and every evening that he'll get saved. And my dad said to him, well, you should stop. And he says, now, Billy, why would I stop praying for him? He says, sure, it mightn't be God's will to save him. Now he had a point, because if we go right deep into this, there's predestination, and all will not be saved. Is that right? But yet, my dad said to him, he said, how do you know that God wants to save him? He said, because the Bible says it's not God's will any should perish. He's fit to quote the scripture for their salvation. And my dad said, well, when the same Bible says the same about healing. Amen. By my stripes you're healed. Isaiah 53. What about 1 Peter 2:24? He his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes wounds we were healed. That's the word of God. Healing is in the atonement. And you know, when F.F. Bosworth met a very smart, educated Baptist preacher at a big convention, and he come up to challenge all the Pentecostals and fix them all up. And he challenged Bosworth. It was actually William Branham, but he said he wouldn't argue when Bosworth says, I have no problem at all getting up with the Bible. And he get up with the Bible, and your boy talked for a long time, give us wee seminar talk. And Bosworth asked him one question, and that was on the names of God, on the seven redemptive names. Is them seven redemptive names about Christ or not? He couldn't deny that they weren't. And in them seven redemptive names, one of them tells you, I am the Lord, thy healer. End of the argument. Isn't that right? So he's a healer. Amen. Praise God. This the pestilent fella, this Paul was. At the sect of the Nazarenes. So don't be worried when they call you a few names, because that'll happen. Praise God. But they were Christians. And they're called Christians in verse 26 of Acts 11. First called Christians in Antioch. Look at Acts 26, 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Almost persuaded. But you don't read of him getting saved. But he was close. And there's a lot of people when they get to heaven that were close, but they weren't close enough. They done nothing about it. Isn't that terrible? That people could hear the gospel and be close and do nothing about it, almost persuaded. And I'm just reading you these to let you see for the word Christians in the Bible. Because some people have rare ideas that there's some things you shouldn't do, but when you read this Bible, they're in it. And I'll tell you, if it's in the Bible, we need to do it. How many agrees with me tonight? Amen. It's in the Bible, we need to do it. Amen. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. So there's Christians in the Bible. And you're a Christian when you're born again of the Spirit of God. The new name for believers. Though the name may have been given first by the Gentiles in mockery, and that's probably how it came, they mocked them. They mocked them, but yet God had ordained it to be happening. And they called them it. And the usage of the word by the Holy Spirit indicates that the real origin was divine. God ordained for it to happen. They were Christians. And we're real Christians because we're born again. A Christian's not somebody that attends a building somewhere and says, I'm a Christian. If they're not born again, if they don't have Christ, they're not a Christian. When you take Christ out, you have no Christian. You have the eye on, but you have no Christ. So you have nothing. You need Christ to be the Christian. Now the Jews couldn't have given this name because Christos was to them a sacred word, so they wouldn't have used this name Christian. But God gave this name Christian. The name was given in Antioch, not Jerusalem. It was the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus of Nazareth that made him the Christ. Jesus was the anointed one. He was the Christ, the anointed one. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. He has sent me. He was the sent one. Amen. Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, the risen head of the church. How many believes Christ is the risen head of the church? And it is the same presence and anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon the disciples that made them Christians. So when the same Holy Spirit that anoints Jesus comes on you and me, We're Christians because of the same Holy Spirit. Amen. And God's people are anointed by the Holy Spirit, the real people of God. I'll tell you that right now, and I'll prove you that from the Bible tonight. And if you say, well, they're Christians and they're not in the body of Christ, and they're not anointed with the Spirit of God, there's something's wrong. The body of Christ, the body of the anointed one. Now, Jesus Christ has one body. Now, I'm not talking about the body that was on the cross. We know that. I'm talking about the mystical body of Christ. That's what it's called, the mystical body of Christ. And if you're born again, a Spirit of God, you are a member of the mystical body of Christ. You are a Christian. You don't need any other name above your door. None. All it is a name. But God never gave it. Now, there's nothing wrong with you can have a name for a fellowship and all them things, but really at the end of the day, it means absolutely nothing. Is that the truth? That's the truth. It means nothing. The main thing is, are you a Christian? Are you a member of the body of Christ? Hence the church is called the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians. Now, I'm almost finished. I'm not going to be long tonight because I want us to have time for us to pray tonight, this evening. But it's just a couple of thoughts I want to bring you. Let's read this, 1 Corinthians 12. Let me go down in my Bible and I want to read through a bit of it because there's some fantastic stuff on this. Let me take my time and just read you a bit of this. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's read from verse 12 down, in the start of the first verses, it talks about spiritual gifts. Let me just read you. Let me read you from verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a cursing. So a man that has genuine tongues is not cursing like some people want you to think. That's what they'll try and tell you. They'll brainwash you to tell you that. Isn't that right? But the real Spirit of God doesn't curse God. Now if someone curses God in another language, that's a devil. That's not the genuine thing. That no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there's diversity of gifts. But the same Spirit, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So the real gifts of God will profit you. Is that right? They'll do you good. Amen. For the one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. Now, diverse kinds of tongues means different tongues. That's why I said on Sunday, for somebody, man stands up and says, say what I'm saying. They didn't do that in the book of Acts, say what I'm saying. God gave them the tongue. They didn't need to copy somebody else. Amen. They got the real thing. Now there is a lot of stuff today that's not real, but don't throw the baby and the bathwater both out. When the water's dirty, you can throw it out, but don't throw the baby out with it. It's an old saying. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it's not the truth. But some people throw all out because they say, well, they're a wildfire. They don't want any fire. But I tell you, we need fire. Amen. But to these worketh that one and that selfsame Spirit, dividing till every man several as he will. So it is God that chooses to do it. And it's God that does divide. Now let's read on. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So there's no such thing as divisions. The divisions are raised. Man brought them about, not God. And you could go to Jeremiah and you could read in Jeremiah, for the shepherds build up walls. I'll tell you who preached a great sermon on it. Aeon. Aeon preached a red hot sermon against pastors years ago where they built up the walls. He had even a dream about it. And he said the sheep were kept in wheat pens and the deceive. I believe he's deceived. He's following a man-made tradition. And he's built himself a fence up and separated the sheep. And come see Armand. I'll tell you what happens when you come see Armand. Come see Armand and not for too long. And Armand, he'll put a wall up around you at every side and he'll hem you in. Then he'll tell you when he gets you in, don't go over there because they're talking tongues. They believe in praying for the sick and we know that's not for the dead. Don't go over there. They believe God sent a prophet. Did you ever hear anything like that? Stay away from them. They went off of the deep end. Well, I'd rather go off of the deep end than go off of the shallow end. I'll tell you that right now. And that's the way I've always been. You know how I learned to swim, brother? I went to the Bonbridge pool and I went to the deepest end and jumped in and near drowned it. But the fella had to pull me out. That's how I started. I never started on the shallow end. I started on the deep end and dive in. And I hit the bottom. And a boy had to save me. And when he got me out, he says, I need to learn you to swim. And I said, that'd be great. And he learned me to swim the same day. And I'm swimming ever since. Amen. We're old enough to swim. We don't need paddling pools no more. We need water deep enough to swim in. Is that the truth? And I tell you, no point fiddling about with a wee bit of the gospel when we have all the gospel. These disciples preach the fullness of God. Now people say, oh, but they preach Christ. You're going to tell me these apostles didn't preach Christ? Because I can guarantee you they preached Christ. Peter preached Christ unto them. And the Holy Ghost came down. And Peter here says they received the same baptism that we received when he preached the gospel unto them. I'm telling you, we need to get back to that. There's something wrong. Somewhere, if the same results never happen, something's wrong. And it's not the power of God, it's not the word of God. Somewhere else is a problem. And if it's a problem, it needs to get fixed. Amen. Is that the truth? And God can do it. I'm telling you, God can do it. One body, many members. Look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not need of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now people will quote you that, and they'll say now the wee fella doesn't believe the same as us, he's alright. He's alright as long as he doesn't slate me. Because I pray for the sick. But if he's going to tell people that tongues is of the devil, and laying hands on the sick is of the devil, he'd better watch himself. I'm telling you. If he doesn't know it, he'd better keep away from it. Because he'll get in trouble with God. That's the truth. You look at Paul the Apostle, he got himself in some trouble, didn't he? He persecuted the church till God, the Lord, appeared in the pillar of fire to him. And he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? And he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus. Amen. And he went blind. And he had to get a man had to pray for him. And he had to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know that after he met with the Lord, he still had to get the baptism. How many knows that's the Bible? And he could pray for the two eyes come open. A lot of people, she's blind today. Do you know why they're blind? Because they're listening to something that's not in this Bible. It came out of mother. And that mother had daughters. You remember, the mother of harlots had daughters. She had daughters. And the Bible warns us in Revelations of the cup of her fornication. That's her uncleanness. The cup of her fornications went out. And you know they built an image to the beast. And that's your Protestant churches that build the image to the beast. That's exactly the Bible. Not mine but popular today, but that's the truth anyhow. That's the word of the Lord. And I tell you, they take you further from God. And they compromise one bit, and they compromise another bit. And then they'll tell you, oh, it'll not really matter how you're baptized. Then the next thing, it'll not really matter how you're saved. Well, it will. Because if you're not saved in the name of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You're lost. That's the problem with all that will not matter. And why wouldn't people want to pray for the sick? You tell me in this country how many people's had a healing campaign, a healing service, and people are dropping like flies with cancer. There's no big panic for fasting and praying. There's no big panic for people getting together to pray and seek God, and we'll have a healing services. And anybody that tries to do it, they'll rent them up. And they'll preach against them. And they'll tell your congregation, oh, stay away from him. That boy there, I'll tell you, he talks in tongues and all that. You know, we had a man came years ago from a certain wee group. It was in the old schoolhouse, and he was really enjoying the service. And then he said to me one night, he said, "Do you believe in speaking in tongues?" I says, "Absolutely, I speak in them myself." He never come back. That was it. What could I do, brother? What would he have done with Paul? What would he have done with them disciples? Wonder what he'd have done with them. I'll tell you what he'd been fellowshipping with them. How do people say we're ready for the coming of the Lord and they don't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit? And they'd say we have the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Spirit, you'll believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And if you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, you definitely haven't got the Holy Ghost. That's my honest opinion. How many agrees with that tonight? I tell you, the Holy Spirit will not deny himself. Your hand won't say, "That's not my hand." You could never lift your own hand up and say, "It doesn't belong to me. It's somebody else's. It's yours." And the Holy Ghost will not deny himself. And you're baptized into the mystical body of Christ by one Spirit. That's this Bible. It's the Holy Ghost that puts you in. And Ephesians says you're sealed in. That means nobody's taking you out. And if some boy with color doesn't agree with it, it won't make no difference. He never put you in. He's not taking you out. But if he could take you out, he'd do it. He would take you out. And you look at the people sitting in the damn darkness, following false stuff. Doctrines of man. Fables. Paul warns us about all that. Praise God. And if the ear, look at all this. Right on down, all members of the body, right on, right down. Praise God. Look at verse 27. "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church." Now somebody says, "We don't believe in a fivefold ministry today." Well then, they don't believe the Bible. Because I can tell you there's a fivefold ministry, and God has set it in the church. Look at this. "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." So he names three of the gifts, and then you know there's pastors and evangelists as well. And the book of Ephesians lists all five of them. And there's tongues. Did you read tongues in your Bible? It read tongues. How many's Bible read tongues? Amen. And how many said it's set in the church? Now, if all them we names claim they're part of the real church, why haven't they got it? Something's wrong. And it's not the Word of God. But I'll tell you where the problem is, in the pulpit. It's in the pulpit. And the man in the pulpit's going to have to stand before God. I'll be guilty myself if I didn't tell you the truth. It's the same if I do a funeral or do a wedding or anything like that. I'm under an obligation. I know I've done weddings and people have come out cursing me. I know that. But I wouldn't worry about it one bit. That's not nice. It's hard to do it. But you're under an obligation to tell them people they need to be saved. And any man, the Bible says you have to warn them. The book of Ezekiel tells us of the blood's required in their hands. We have to warn the people. As the sex team and a pastor of a church and the leader of a group is under an obligation to teach them people the Word of God, the truth. And if he's not a teacher, he needs to get a teacher in that can teach it. That's the Bible. Now you see the apostles, let's agree with me, brothers and I, the apostles never waited till the pastor invited them. How many knows that? The apostles moved by the Holy Ghost. And where they went, the doors were open, they're glad to get them. Because they knew they were men of God, is that right? They went led of God. And the prophets of God, they went in with us, saith the Lord. And I tell you, people think there's nothing like that today. I can assure you there is. Listen, when I was in Reno, Nevada many years ago, we were having service on a Sunday, and a young man came in and he asked for, the man's name was called Dwayne Folk, and his wife was called Minnie, like a mini car. Now that's a strange name. I don't know what you think, Minnie Folk and her husband. And this man came and he said, "God just told me to ask for Minnie." And he was right. And Minnie said, "Yes." And he said, "The Lord sent me here with a word from the Lord. I've drove 150 miles to get here this morning. And I was there with a group of people," and he stood up and he prophesied in front of that group. And I was with the people he prophesied till I was one of them. And he said, you'll go into Mexico. And he said, you'll meet a woman and she's a limp. And he said the very leg she'd limp on. And he gave absolute detailed information. And he said, it'll be through that woman that God will lead you to the rehabilitation center. And the Spirit of God will move in that place. And people get saved. And we went and we met exactly that woman with a limp in that leg, the way it said it. And that woman took us to a rehabilitation center. And they asked me to preach, and I preached Isaiah 53. And a demon almost killed a man at the front of the service while he was preaching. There was demons and people crying out of him in Mexico. Real powerful demons. And I tell you, the Spirit of God fell in that place. And I had an interpreter and everything. And God even had the interpreter and everything. And people got saved and delivered by the power of God. And the Holy Spirit foretold the whole thing by a prophet. And you'd say, why would God do that? Because God leads his people. That's the Bible way. Amen. That's what we need, brothers and sisters. We need the Holy Ghost moving. Who believes us tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me read you this verse 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gift. So he's telling you, everybody will not speak in tongues. Everybody will not have the gift of healing. That's why if you take one gift and make it an evidence, it's wrong. Because you could pick one of these gifts and say, everybody must do it. The Bible says it'll not happen. Is that what it's saying here? It's saying, do all do it? No, they don't. But there is people that will do it. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you want tongues, God will give you it. Who believes that? I can guarantee you he'll give you it. But it's like I say with the shoes. When you get the shoes, everything's in them. Amen. The Holy Ghost can use you in anything. If you give yourself to God, God can do it. Praise God. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Praise God. Now I'm going to close in a moment. The very name Christ means anointed one. He is anointed one. And it's that anointing we need. We need the anointing of God. I don't want you thinking I'm coming here to red people up, but I'll tell you one thing. The devil's attacking people from this assembly. And he's sending the cronies out. And they've come from places with labels over the front door. And as far as I'm concerned, they're dead hen houses. And I'm not apologizing for that. That's the truth. They don't want the real thing. They don't want it. And the people who want the real thing, they want to stumble them. They never came to them when they were in the world. They never came to them when they're hung up on drugs and drink. They never came to them once. They never came to them then. But as soon as they start serving God, the devil will send them. Are you really sure you're saved? Did you ever hear him? Boy, you need to know your Bible. And when you get to know your Bible, you need to hit that devil with the Word of God. And you need to tell him, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how do you know you're really going to be healed? Mark 16 says, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. James says, call the elders of the church. Anoint with oil. Oh, but he's made a mistake. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. That's the Bible. Who believes the Bible? And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will heal them. Hallelujah. But he'll send them out. I tell you, you need to watch down there. Watch you don't get the Holy Ghost. That's what you need to watch. I'm praying you get a good dose of it, and I want a bigger dose of it. The power of God moving. The power of God coming. Pray for people in this assembly. Pray for one another. Love one another. Amen. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. Pray for Brother Mark's preaching on Sunday. Pray God will use him. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. And maybe I've said things I shouldn't have, but... I tell you, how many believe you're an eagle tonight? I tell you, you don't put the eagle in with the chickens. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in with chickens. Why would an eagle want in with chickens? He never was born in with chickens. And even when you read that story about them eagle eggs, his mother never put them eggs in there. Somebody that shouldn't have put them in there. But when he come of age, he got out of there as quick as he could. Because he never was a chicken. He was an eagle. He was born for the heavenlies. He was born to fly. Hallelujah. He wasn't born to be cooped up with God can't do this. God can't do that. God can't do this today. God, and people know so much about what God can't do. But I want to tell you what God can do. God can do over exceedingly abundantly, far above what you can ask or even think. That's what he can do. Hallelujah. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul does prosper. Hallelujah. The Lord sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them. Praise God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against them. That's what God can do. Amen. I will look unto the hills when whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. God's on my side. He's on your side tonight. He says, brother, I've good thoughts for you. Good thoughts. The devil might have bad ones, but God's got real good ones. Hallelujah. God wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to move in your life and save your children and deliver them and set them free. And you need to claim what's yours tonight under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. He wants to tell you he never heard your prayers. You're maybe not in the place you should be. Jesus is always in the place he has to be. And it's his righteousness I'm working on tonight, for of none of my own. Romans 4, the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, what I'm working with tonight. He gave it to me. Praise God. He's not an Indian giver. When he gives you it, he never takes it back. It's yours. He gives you it, brother, sister. It's yours. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that you have never failed. We thank you tonight that your ears ever opened or cry. Your arms not shortened. Your ears certainly not heavy. You're able to save by the few or by the many. Oh God, we praise you tonight. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, tonight you're still on the throne. We thank you, Lord, you're not the I was, you still are the I am. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we know if you ever open blinded eyes once, you can open them again. You ever stop the deaf ear once, you can stop it again. You ever raised the dead once, you can raise the dead again. You ever saved a man once, you can save him again. You ever filled with the Holy Ghost once, you can fill with again. You ever give the gift of tongues once, you can give the gift of tongues again. For you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, this is your word we've been talking out of tonight. We haven't been reading from a manuscript or some man's book or program. But this is your word, Lord, your eternal word. The word that you watch over, the word that you perform and bring to pass. Lord, you said you'd keep an eye on it and bring it to pass. And there's not one word will fall to the ground. We bless you this evening, Lord, for your mighty works, your mighty power. We praise you, Lord. We welcome you into this room. We welcome you into our lives. We welcome you into our homes. We welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have thy way. Holy Spirit, fill us. Move on us afresh, O God. In Jesus' precious name. Bless every man in these chairs tonight. Bless every woman in these chairs tonight. Save their children. Save their son, their daughter, the husband, the wife, the aunt, the uncle, the brother, the sister. Save them and deliver them, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for all those at home tonight that the devil's afflicted. Brother Ian, Samuel, my sister Andrea, and others as well. Lord Jesus, lift them up before you this evening. And I pray the Holy Ghost will move on them. Oh God, give them strength, give them grace, give them the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray. Lord, I thank you tonight that you said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, you're building a church, the real church. It's not a man-made church. Lord, it's not some glory hunter's church, but it's a church to live in God with signs and wonders follow it. It's a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church. Like the first church, Lord, was a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church. Oh God, make us the men and women you want us to be. We don't want to be what somebody else wants. We want what you want. We want to be closer to you. Draw us closer, God. Help us pray more. Help us read more. Help us preach the things you want us to preach. Move, Lord, on the prophets. precious name. Move in her children. Save them. Deliver them. Set them free. We pray again for Sheila. God, we rebuke the devil over her life tonight. We rebuke the destroyer, the stealer, the robber. You have come to give life, and that more abundantly we speak life upon her. Health till her navel, strength till her bones. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch her heart, oh God, this evening by the power of God. Lord, you made the body. You can heal it. We're asking for the mighty touch upon her sister. In the mighty name of the Lord, may she know your touch. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we pray again for Eric Black. God, we pray for mercy. Pray you'll speak to them one more time. Speak to them again. Lord, give them another chance. Oh, God, speak to them. Move on them this evening, Lord. Speak to them again. Deliver them and set them free. Save them, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, cover them with your blood. Speak to them. May he know, Lord, we're praying for him tonight. And may you do something on his body. May he know the power of God coming over him, going through him, go through his limbs, rid him of that, Lord, effects of the COVID injection. Deliver him in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Oh, God, come through his body and down in his limbs tonight. The power of the Holy Ghost, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we know you answer prayer. We know you're just a prayer away. Just a prayer away, Lord. And we believe you tonight. Lord, bless the widows in this fellowship. Bless the wives. Bless the children. Bless the fathers, the mothers, the brothers, the sisters. Oh, God, work miracles in our midst. May people get healed without even anybody praying for them. May the Holy Ghost come in this room. And may the healing go through people. And deliverance. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, we know that early church, while they, Peter yet speak these words, the Holy Ghost come on them. Oh, grant it, Lord, I pray. Help us to seek you tonight. Bless our brother Mark for this Sunday. Move on him mightily. By the power of the Holy Ghost, give him a word from heaven. Oh, God, quicken him. Quicken him, I pray. Fill him. Oh, Lord, move him. Use him. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord.